One, two, is this on?
Are you ready?
Oh yeah!
Let me tell you something, brother. If you're looking for the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be in the podcasting universe, then look no further than Ring the Bell. Bringing you the best in the world at what we do, and what we do is take over the world of wrestling reviews, baby. Now, ring the bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell. We're back. Hello. Oh my God, it's been a fair amount of time since we have graced these airwaves with our presence. But we have a lot to talk about, huge amounts to talk about, so let's not waste any time. I am your host, Andrew, with me, as always, once again, it's Mr. Ross Bell.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm out of practice. Terribly out of practice.
Need to start this podcast with the old Triple H theme tune. 1, 2. Is this on?
Oh, no, that's a shout. Okay, yeah. I recalled our last show, which was released back on October the 13th. And we said that we were hoping to do a Crown Jewel show, but if we didn't, then we'd be back soon. We'll take a little break. We never obviously got around to doing the Crown Jewel show. So we thought we'd just take a little hiatus, as it were.
What we meant was Elimination Chamber. It's all Saudi Arabia. It's all the same stuff.
Well, exactly, yeah. We did say the name of the event, but really we meant the Saudi Arabia.
The Saudi pay-per-view. Sorry, the Saudi premium live event.
Live event, yes. Sorry. as we record this, the show is about, I don't know, 25 minutes finished.
Yes, finished, basically.
So by the time this goes out, you would have all seen or read or heard or avoided and then had to unfortunately be hit with what happened on the show. Because there were a couple of newsworthy moments as it pertained to setting up WrestleMania, the Stupendous, as it's called this year.
Yeah, what a stupid tagline, by the way.
Stupendous. I mean, there have been some bad WrestleMania taglines.
Yeah, it's one of the worst.
Stupendous. Obviously, maybe Vince has found out that word exists, and now that's it. You know, it's like when when Abeyance doing the whole Daniel Bryan thing, when they found out what the word Abeyance meant, that got used everywhere. So maybe now Lockbox was another one that never got mentioned again. What was in the Lockbox anyway?
I don't know. Did we ever find out?
We'll never find out now, obviously. we'll get to that. We'll get to that related story. So Chamber. I'll be honest, I didn't watch it because. It was one of those shows that on paper actually looked okay, but then I remembered that it was a premium live event from Saudi Arabia, and the direction the company's going at the moment isn't all that hard to predict, so I skipped it. But you watched it, so why don't you give us a half-hour-old rundown
on it? Yeah, I watched all of it, even the pre-show. Rey Mysterio beat The Miz after... Dominic got thrown out. Some clever work by The Miz. He threw a chair at Dominic and then kicked the ring steps to make it, as the ref turned around, to make it look like Dominic hit him with a chair. So quite clever work from the A-lister. Pretty good match back and forth, those two. You know what you're going to get with Miz and Ray at this point. They're just going to put on a pretty stellar match. Roman beat Bill Goldberg, thankfully. I was really scared that Goldberg might actually win that belt because he seems to have a habit of winning titles in Saudi.
Did you genuinely have a fear that they were going to book the title switch?
Yeah, I mean, it was 95% I was sure that Roman was going to win, but there's that little bit that it's Saudi Arabia and it's Goldberg. And he's been talking about one last run and one last match. So
I did see Bully Ray on his podcast throw out the idea that maybe just to throw things out and shake things up, they have Roman lose and then win the belt back on SmackDown this Friday. And so, okay, I'm all for shaking things up, but you do not end the Tribal Chief's historic reign for a 5-day switch to shake things up this close to WrestleMania to Bill Goldberg of all people.
No, there's other people that you could do that with, certainly. Yeah. It was fine.
It was only, what, five, six minutes long?
Yeah, really short. Your standard Roman Goldberg match, basically. Lots of spears, lots of jackhammer attempts that Bill's not really strong enough to do anymore.
I haven't seen the finish. Was it a pin, or I'm guessing because it's Goldberg, like the guillotine, but he didn't tap out, he passed out?
Superman punch set up. Goldberg went for a jackhammer, but Roman's counted it, so we get a thing to submission, which Goldberg tried to break out, but passed out.
So he didn't actually submit then. Okay, yep, standard Goldberg.
He just passed out.
Yep, of course. So this apparently was Goldberg's last match on his current contract. So as of now, I know, let's not all cry too hard. As of now, Goldberg is done. And I'll be honest, he's only really around for the Saudi shows, primarily. What's left? I mean, he's done the Taker match. You know, he's put Roman over eventually, 2 years later than originally planned. He's done the Lashley thing. They got a little bit of mileage out of that.
Yep. He ruined the Fiend's career.
Yeah, he destroyed the Fiend. honestly, there's no dream matches left.
No. But, he's done for me. Just get gone. Tony Khan this week's been talking about a massive surprise. Goldberg, bring him in. Welcome him with open arms. Goldberg versus Sting, headlining their next pay-per-view. Oh, combined age of 110 or something.
Is Goldberg's going to try and like end the careers of people who do the sharpshooter and Scorpion Deathlocks? Like, well, I did Brett in 99. I'm going to come after you now, Sting. I'm
coming for you, Sting. You're next. So thankfully it's over, I think, and Roman can head off to WrestleMania for another match with Brock Lesnar. But yeah, I really hope that is the end of Goldberg now, because he still gets massive pops. On SmackDown last week, he got a huge pop when he came out and got face-to-face with Roman, but that you can't book him just for a pop. Like, he has to perform in the ring, and Roman's work over the past 500-odd days has been absolutely stellar with everyone he's worked with. And he has to drag himself to Goldberg's level.
Yeah, I did see that SmackDown are now going back to the old days of sweetening the crowd, which does make me think, are the pops legit now? Because we've seen a few clips online and stuff, especially Ronda since she returned, where the crowd noise is absolutely not legit, and you can tell it. And it's the old days of SmackDown where you could see the crowd weren't moving, and yet the crowd were making the loudest sound you've ever heard.
Yeah, very weird.
So these pops that Goldberg gets, especially when he's up against, Roman Reigns, who's supposed to be the biggest heel in the company.
Yeah.
How genuine are they?
Hoping they're not. I'm hoping they're finally realizing that he's not the draw that he was. Like, no one's watching this to watch Goldberg. Like, they're just simply not. I don't know what I was watching this main event for, but it wasn't Goldberg, that's for sure.
At least they paid it off, though. Obviously, we finally got Reigns and Goldberg. They've wanted to do that for, say, 2 years now, almost.
Yeah, it's done now.
So, yeah, they got it out of their system. And really, it's another Hall of Famer that Roman has beaten. You know, he's racking up the list of Hall of Famers and Hall of Fame-worthy entrants one day.
After this match, he's now beaten every other previous whatever champion he is, the Universal or World Heavyweight. Okay. He's now beaten every other single one to hold that belt. So he is like the grand champion of all of them now.
I did see something online during the week. Someone posted a list of that and saying that if Goldberg wins, and obviously the Fiend's named on it because the Fiend lost his belt in the Triple Threat of Payback but didn't actually get pinned. And he actually replied on Twitter, Wyndham Rotunda, and said, get my fucking name off this list, because technically he never got pinned by Roman.
True. He has been pinned by
Roman, but not as Universal, not during this Tribal Chief run.
Yeah.
We think that, Roman's going to get stale eventually doing this, and he doesn't.
Not.
He still feels fresh. And
yeah.
For all the people that are like, well, this is what would have happened, you turned him heel before. It's like, no, he needed that baby face push after push after push for this to work. I don't think he could have done this 3 years ago when you should have turned him. This only works now with Heyman. Okay, I know the whole Heyman Brock thing was kind of on the fly with the Reigns COVID absence a couple of months ago, but this had to happen at this moment with all the history for this to work for me.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do with Roman after WrestleMania. After, I'm presuming he beats Brock. He's not title for title, but it wouldn't make sense to have Roman lose that match, because he is the full-time guy. He's there every week.
That takes the belt off Roman.
No,
I don't know who the guy is.
There's no point to that. It should have been Seth, in my opinion, but
Seth was up there. I can only think of one guy in the company right now, maybe two if you include Seth, with a couple of months of strong work to really establish Seth again, because that's not his doing, that's the company's doing. But there's only one guy that comes to mind now who could be pushed up to beat Roman.
Yeah.
And that's Drew, because
I think that's where they're positioning
that match once.
Yeah, I think that's once he's done with, like, he'll probably face Corbin at WrestleMania because he beat Madcap Moss. Yeah, he beat Madcap Moss and Corbin at Chamber in a glorified handicap match. I mean, it's something
Drew,
for him to do.
You want your big moment at WrestleMania in front of fans where you win? Hey, well, you can do it beating Happy Corbin.
Happy Corbin.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's fine. Corbin's all right. He's got the most protected move in wrestling. No one's ever kicked out at the end of the days. So I imagine.
Saw that online. That is mental as a stat.
Yeah. I imagine Drew will be the first guy to do it.
But has there ever been talking on TV? Is that a part of his gimmick?
No, it isn't.
A stat that online fans have realised, and it's.
Yeah. You know, I think it is just an online thing because it's great. They would surely mention that, but then I don't know if it doesn't play into his character at the minute. If he was more back to the old Corbin, then maybe it would play into his, like, he's got a really super strong finisher that's over at the minute. He's just like this happy guy having fun with Madcap, who after this chamber, if he hasn't got a concussion, I don't know how he hasn't, because in their match with Drew went for a reverse fireman's, no, what's Alabama Slam.
Yep.
So Madcap Moss came head first over Drew's shoulders and hit as he went down, he tucked his head and he hit the mat head first, forehead first, and then just crumpled into a heap in the corner. It looked really bad. It made Corbin have to get involved and take over the match effectively.
Oh, Jesus. So was it supposed to be a one-on-one that they made?
It was one-on-one, yeah, but it was false count anywhere. So
essentially it is
handicap. Yeah, it was a glorified handicap match. So, yeah, I mean, Drew won that one.
So coming out of that, the fact that the Drew-Corbin rivalry isn't going to be over yet because they've not had that big one-on-one match yet.
Yeah, they ended with Drew pointing the sword towards Corbin saying, you're next.
Wait, he had the sword in Saudi Arabia?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck my life.
Yeah, I tweeted, no wonder the Saudi fans love Drew so much. He's got a fucking massive sword.
I've never known a comedy to be so tone-deaf.
Yeah, I know. So unaware. He came out with it. He used it during a match. He held it in his hands whilst he did the Claymore. He had it in his hands as he flew at Corbin for the Claymore kick.
Oh, Jesus.
I like to think they know about this and they're just like, whatever. We're getting paid billions.
Did
no one
backstage go, hey, Vince, sorry, I've got to just... Did Drew, not as he's walking through... Drew's just... must have at least a level. He's always talking about how him and Vince get on and now he can go... He's walking through the grill. Like, oh, Drew, remember, take your sword, whatever they call on the sword now.
Gladys, or Angela, I think it is. Angela,
of course, African Angela, strong Scottish name. And did he not think? Hang on, Vince. Like, I've got to say, I'm sorry, but I love
a strong beheading culture.
I'm all about the sword, but we're in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, they like the use of blades on necks. It's maybe not the best
idea.
They
had to take the cross off Ray's mask because was the cross on Ray's mask tonight on the pre-show?
I don't think it was. He had different attire. He was in all green this time. So
I did see that they were promoting that they made history with the first ever billboard featuring two women during the week.
Yeah.
Becky and Lita at the where that was. I mean,
it seemed like a very strong women's show. They had the women's chamber, they had the two different women's matches, and to be honest, they were the highlights of the show for me. The Lita Becky Lynch match. Considering this is the first Lita's proper match in 16 years, she didn't look that bad. Yeah, 16 years since her last proper one-on-one match.
Despite how history has painted her, and for me, it paints her in a similar way to how they say that DX broke the internet, but DX changed the game with the tank that was really a Jeep. That's how much, for me, Lita, it's on a level with how much people talk about her with such reverence when you actually think...
Yeah.
She wasn't very good.
No, she was fine, but she was incredibly sloppy.
How many times did she break her neck? Like, how many times those moonsaults go, oh, God, she's alive still?
Yep, and she hit one on Becky in this match, and she landed kind of her face on Becky's knees. But
I find it funny that Lita was always a critic of the Saudi Arabia trips, but yet now she's happy to fly over there. Money, money, money.
I wonder, It's just that there's one every year, isn't there?
So was that next match then? Was Becky and Lita the...
No, that was a bit later on the card. The next match
after Drew's sword.
Well, Drew was a bit later on, actually. Roman Bill opened the show. Then we had the women's chamber, which was okay. I mean, the issue I have is I don't really like any of the women in the match apart from Alexa Bliss. Like, and she didn't win, so
Were the women all covered up apart from their faces, skin wise?
Yes. And okay. The women in this match all looks great for it. When we get to Charlotte in a minute, I've got an issue. But yeah, they all look really good with their fully covered up apart from their faces. There was a nice moment where Doudrop and Nikki got into a big old Scottish slanging match, shouting at each other, nice. Which is quite funny. Never have nice. Two Scottish women shouted at each other in Saudi Arabia as much brilliant. As these two.
That was really good. Commentary, that would have gone well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was in commentary, by the way, anyway? Was it Cole?
Commentary was Cole Saxton and what's his face? Corey.
Oh, Corey was there, was he? Okay.
Yeah, pretty much the whole evening, all three of them. They were pretty good.
They did
good.
Commentary on SmackDown. That was taped that aired last night. So I'm guessing they recorded that from Saudi Arabia then.
They must have done, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But they were quite good. They're not, like, now that Cole's kind of established as the proper guy, like, he's really, really good now. I like him.
But he's not the same without McAfee.
No, he's not. He can tell he's having fun with Pat as well. Like, you can tell that he's really enjoying his job when he's next to Pat. And it's a shame he's not there, but he's got his own show to do. And his interview with Brock Lesnar this week was fucking amazing, wasn't it?
I mean,
when Brock broke the table.
We'll go back to we'll in our sort of newsy section a bit later. Yeah. We'll cover this in more detail. But if you haven't seen it. Go on to YouTube, search Pat McAfee. He's got his whole channel of all his shows on there. It's like 2 and something hours of Brock Lesnar basically being Brock Lesnar that we've never been allowed or permitted to see.
Yeah.
Fuck me, it's amazing. And he does a bang on Steve Austin impression as well.
Imagine if we've had this Brock.
Breaking the table, my funniest moments of the year, like hands down. We're doing the award show this year. And we're going to have a funniest moments. And Brock Lesnar on the McAfee table. Show might just be a whole section on its own.
Yeah, it's a highlight already.
So
Bianca pinned Ripley with a KOD, and it was Bianca and Alexa were the last two. Bianca, she powerbombed Alexa from the cage onto the ring ropes, back onto the cage, and back into the ring. That looked really impressive. But yeah, it was just kind of a flat finish. Bianca won, and she's now off to WrestleMania, and she looked really happy. But it wasn't the same sort of. When she won the Rumble last year and it's on to Mania, it was a bigger event. Like, I don't know. I'm assuming she beats Becky, but to get her win back, but I don't know.
Was there any kind of doubt in your mind as to the winner that was going to be facing Becky?
No,
was Becky a leader for the title?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was almost title match. And there were some really, really close falls, to be fair.
Okay, so we kind of assumed Becky wasn't going to drop the belt to lead to a Saudi show. So we know Becky was going to Mania either way. So you look through the women in there. So Nikki, Rhea, Bianca, Doudrop, Alexa, and I'm missing someone. Whether it was all of them, I don't know.
That was it.
Yeah.
Liv.
Liv, that's of course. Yeah. So yeah, did you have any kind of doubt that it was going to be anyone other than
no, I wanted Bliss or Liv Morgan to win because I think Liv Morgan deserves another shot at Becky. She's just had some really good matches with her at the end of last year and over the Rumble period. But no, it was always going to be Bianca just because how she got jobbed out when Becky returned last year. Like she's not had her one-on-one match with Becky for the title. So there's a story going there and I'm fine with that. You can play off of what happened at Survivor Series.
SummerSlam.
Christ, that's a long time.
I know, right?
So, yeah, like they've got the story there. It's been a long time since they've had that match. So,
I'm
going to
assume that unlike last time, Bianca would not headline night one of WrestleMania with Becky.
I don't know. Like, do you not? Big time Bex. She has to headline, didn't she? Because what's the other title match now? Flair versus Rousey, maybe?
Yeah, we are. Oh, fucking hell.
I mean, I don't think
they put Flair and Becky on the same show. Ronda's not going night one.
They have to be on separate shows, definitely.
So, yeah, in that case, then Becky and Bianca have to main event night one. Okay, So Bianca won the chamber.
Yeah. Then we got Rousey and Naomi versus Flair and Deville. The story from SmackDown was that Deville's arm was injured by Rousey, so she had her arm in a sling, obviously a fake sling, but the stipulation was Rousey had to fight with one arm tied by the back. She came out on a full-on judo gi. Looked like she just got out of bed. No makeup. Hair wasn't done. Looked like she had pajamas on.
Why did she have a judo gi on?
I don't know. Is she some sort of champion judoer or whatever she is?
I mean, I know she obviously only wears, like, obviously small shorts and the crop top, and you can't show skin. But just stick her in, like, an all-in-one like the rest of the women wear.
Other woman wore an all-in-one.
Like, why can't she wear...
Yeah, I don't know. She had to stand out differently.
Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, the faces won, obviously. Ronda tapped out Sonya while Charlotte just stood there and watched, because she wasn't really kind of a team with Sonya. She was just like a convenience thing, having someone else to fight those two. Mm-hmm. I don't care about Naomi. I like Sonya Deville, but I just do not care about Naomi. I don't think she's that good. I don't want to see her in the top of this card. She was fine. I'm just waiting for Ronda to turn on her, but she's a face apparently. But yeah, I mean, it was fine, but again, I don't like any of the women in this match. Sonya Deville is the one I like the most, and she's the one that wrestles the least out of all these people. Charlotte looked like the elf on the shelf.
Oh, fucking.
She was in, because all the women had the full all in one from ankles to wrists and up to the neck. A lot of them had like details on it and like to make it look like it wasn't just a bodysuit, a morph suit. Charlotte's was just red, pure red, head to toe. Little thing around the collar, just one little stripe around the collar, and that was it, with black boots on. She looked like the fucking elf on the shelf. Like Naomi looked like you'd imagine. She's got all of her glow stuff on. She looked really cool when I won. And Sonya Deville had, like, chain stuff across. She looked like a Rhea Ripley wrestler, basically. Like, they looked pretty cool.
I suppose, Jake, the women in the chamber, you think about it, they've all got gear that can really be adapted into a bodysuit with minimal effort. So obviously Alexa wears like the leather skirt and that.
Yeah, she wore like a dress thing with a onesie, thing over underneath.
Rhea pretty much wears mostly a bodysuit anyway, just to give her sleeves.
Just extended it.
Dewdrop, again, similar. So there's not an awful lot of work, and they keep their uniqueness of the gimmick, you know? Yeah.
But it all looked different. Charlotte looked like she put no effort into this at all. It's not, I got red, whatever. I don't get it.
Okay, so we've got Charlotte versus Ronda for the SmackDown Women's Championship at Mania. Is there any excitement about this match?
No. I don't care who wins. I've always hated Ronda. Everyone who's listened to this show over the years knows that I hate Ronda Rousey with a passion. And Charlotte, I just don't want to watch her anymore. Like, I like the character she's portraying at the minute. She's basically Ric Flair and doesn't give a shit and thinks she's better than everyone else, but we've seen it. Don't need to see it again
and again.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, I'm just waiting for Bayley to come back and mix this up a little bit.
Where's Asuka?
Well, yeah, exactly. If those two came back, then the women's title picture would look a lot different and a lot more interesting. Bayley, even Asuka and Sasha Banks, put those three in some sort of feud with this. It would be fantastic. But it's just
Sasha doesn't do Saudi trips, does she?
No, I don't think she's. Because she's a Muslim, I think she's something like that, like Sammy, because he wasn't there either.
I think she's a fucking anti-vaxxer, but anyway.
Yes, she is, yeah. Then we got the Drew and Madcap Moss. Drew won that. Then we got Becky versus Lita, which Becky won, thanks to the manhandle slam. And then we got the men's chamber, which was really, really good until Brock got in it and just ruined it for everyone.
Okay. I've seen a couple of pictures online before we started recording. The Bobby thing. It was Seth did his power bomb.
Seth did the buckle bomb to Austin Theory.
Yeah, through Bobby's chamber, his pod.
Yes, Bobby was looking at Lesnar, like he was looking the other way at the time.
So, surely Seth didn't do it into the wrong chamber. I mean, it's not like he did it into the wrong pod. So, was it actually just not up to speed in terms of it was happened at that moment? Was the idea that he was meant to be shocked by it? And because I've seen literally a couple of moments ago that he may have banged his head on one of the metal.
It did look like he fell back into the strap.
And I think concussion protocol's been mentioned as well, and that's why he was taken out. So
yeah, because Theory came through the plexiglass into Lashley, and then both of them crashed into the strap thing holding the chamber up.
So.
But I think it was just a convenient thing.
So the question then comes is, was he going to be injured, quote unquote, before he actually got concussed, maybe? So if he hadn't got concussed, would he have been injured and therefore taken out of the pod either way to get to the finish that we will get to?
Yeah.
So again, he avoids actually getting pinned and losing the belt. Why put it on in the first place then?
I think that's the plan. I think they may have just messed up the spot and he probably did get concussed because they were quite quick to, like, the refs were in there quite quickly and some guys from the back were down, like Adam Pearce was down straight away to check and like it did seem like, because like Seth kept looking over to the corner to make sure like he was all right, because Seth was halfway through putting someone onto the top rope, and he kept like just looking like, oh shit, have I fucked up?
Now, we've both been watching wrestling for long enough that we can usually tell if something doesn't quite seem like it's in flow, like they're kind of ad-libbing or improvising.
Yeah.
This is what I ask about. Do you think it was always meant to be he's going to get injured? Did it seem like anything was being done like on the fly, as it were, because he wasn't meant to be injured there? Or do you think it looked normal and fine because he was always meant to be injured, just not legit injured?
I think the plan was for him to never enter this match. I think he was not ever going to get in here and take a pin, because the way Lesnar came in, he literally F5'd Rollins, pinned him immediately, F5'd Riddle, pinned him immediately, had a little back and forth with AJ, pinned him immediately, and then had the little bit with Theory before he pinned him. But there is no way you could do that to Bobby and keep him looking strong. Even as strong as you want to make Brock look, Bobby's deserved more than that over this past year. So I think the plan was just get him out of there.
And so it's gone a bit wrong. Then that the concussion obviously wasn't planned, but the injury, whatever the injury was going to be, was planned.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much where we go.
Makes more sense. So Brock is the new WWE champion.
Yep. He F5'd Austin Theory off the top of one of the pods.
I'll take it he flung him off. I'll take it Brock didn't go down with him.
When there are clumps on top of it, I says, Nikki, no way Brock's taking a bump off of this thing. He's just chucking Theory off, and he did. And Theory landed kind of knees first. It still would have bloody hurt because the height he was.
Okay. Okay, so it begs the question then. Brock is doing essentially a full-time schedule at this point. He's on most of the shows.
Yeah.
Ironically, it's what people have wanted since he returned in 2012. And have been angry at him ever since because he's never done a full-time schedule.
Yeah.
He's doing a full-time schedule. He's given us a new character. He's given us happy, fun-time cowboy Brock.
Yep.
But people are still mad. Now,
yeah,
I know he's the target because he is the guy on TV. He's the guy with the championship and then the Rumble win and then losing the belt, then winning another belt.
Yeah.
There doesn't appear to be a scenario which Brock can win here. We've wanted him full-time.
Yeah.
We've got him full-time. Is it purely because we wanted him full-time but not winning championships?
Not like this.
WrestleMania? Yeah. Like,
I said to you when he first came back, and I said for years in the show that I've not been a Brock fan. I don't want to see Brock around as much as he is now. But I'm really enjoying this run of Brock. I just don't need him to have titles, like, because he's now Raw is irrelevant for the next 3 or 4 weeks till WrestleMania. Nothing can happen that's going to change the title picture. That's set in stone. That's Lesnar versus Roman.
And also, he's pinned Theory, AJ, Seth, and
Riddle.
He's already beaten Big E, and why Big E had to lose the belt in a multi-man match and then get carted off to SmackDown's mid-card in a tag team, which aren't allowed to be called the New Day, just Kofi and Big E. But anyway.
Yeah.
And the Big E thing, we haven't got time for that fucking discussion.
No.
But Raw is pointless. Like, Raw has nothing in terms of a top line picture now because Brock is small.
The only guy that's been made to look strong against Brock, apart from Roman, is Drew, basically.
And Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby's beaten him.
Yeah.
And now Bobby's avoided the pinfall.
Now Bobby's the big bad heel, but no one's fighting.
Nothing else. Yeah. So you got Drew on SmackDown. Who's going to be stuck in a mid-card match with, all due respect, a waste of space in the sense of Drew's the top-line guy and Corbin isn't.
Exactly,
Okay, so title versus title is booked. Yep. It's announced. They've got the graphic. Funny how quick they are. That's it. They say title for title. Is it total versus title? Like, it's your belt versus my belt? Or is it just because it's champion versus champion? Like, have they specified both belts on the line, or
currently it just says champion versus champion? So I don't think it's going to be a unification.
Okay, so so we assume Roman's going to win because he can't be losing to Brock. You cannot put Brock over Roman.
No.
Obviously, they've already put Roman over Brock in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
he did that for Crown Jewel. So Brock's going to be the Universal Champion. Sorry, WWE Champion.
Yep.
He's going to lose that belt. Sorry, he's going to lose the match, but still be champion.
Yep.
I know he's advertised for WrestleMania Backlash because that's still a thing.
Yeah.
So does he drop it there and then go off onto the sunset literally on a horse?
He like, ends on a horse, I'm going to be all over.
I'm just thinking, is all these wins the condition of him doing a full-time schedule?
Yeah, I think it must be. I think you're spot on there. He loses a Backlash to Bobby, say, or Seth, or KO, or someone like that who's going to be positioned as the guy on Raw for a little bit. It probably needs to be Bobby, to be honest.
So, I thought in my head and I completely lost the training. I know it was something. Oh, fuck's sake, that's annoying me.
There's only three matches booked currently for WrestleMania. It's Becky versus Belair, Charlotte versus Ronda, and Roman versus Brock, and that's it. And then WrestleMania is on the April the 2nd. So, I mean, just over a month and a bit away.
So Brock he's come back doing a virtually full-time schedule. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he lost to Roman at Crown Jewel. Okay, fine. Then they started the whole thing with Heyman kind of working both sides, which was entertaining. It was good. Mm-hmm. You know, so Heyman got to kind of play as part of it.
Yeah.
Then obviously day one came where we were going to get the Roman Brock rematch. Mm-hmm. And then Roman got COVID.
Yeah.
So Brock got put into the multi-man match on Raw.
Yep.
And won that title. Why, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
So the question is then, was Brock always going to win a belt at day one? Was he going to beat Roman for the belt?
I don't think so. I think the plan was that he was just going to win the Rumble and get the match with Roman. But I think they've realised that you have to have both of them as champion at this point. Otherwise, it is literally just another match between them, and there's nothing special about it. Like there's no other pull to it apart from it being champion versus champion. Now that's what they're hanging this whole match on.
It just feels like, in order to get Brock, who and this new character, whether he's wanted to play this role, they've told him you got to be babyface.
Yeah.
You can't be the Brock you were as a babyface. Be who you are. Be Brock Lesnar. And from the sounds of the McAfee interview, this is Brock Lesnar. This isn't Brock with the volume turned up, as Austin would say. This is Brock.
Yeah.
He wears the flannel shirts. He wears the cowboy hat, which you get for buying land in Canada. You know, this is him. You know, he wants to get to the show, avoid everyone. I've never identified with Brock more in that moment than when he said that as well, for the record.
Yeah.
This is him. Yeah. And as he said on the interview with Pat, he's having fun. He doesn't have to do this. He's smart with his money. He doesn't need to leave his fenced-in farm.
No.
Fully operational working farm as well.
Yeah.
He's actually enjoying himself, and you can see he's enjoying himself,
which
is great. And I love this Brock. As you said, we love this Brock. But it does feel like the whole company is getting pushed aside. This is like when Rock did his big "I'm never ever going away again" before he went away again. Vince literally came out on TV and said, "The WWE is your toy box. Feel free to come back and play whenever you want." And it's like you're laying down your company for one Hollywood star to do it when you built Survivor Series around him, and he didn't show up for that, but he fucking did the Super Bowl intro. Like, and obviously, as you know, you will attest, the Super Bowl was a massive thing, and it's huge, and it's great for The Rock, and it was, as a wrestling fan, a part of me is like, he's one of our guys. That was a promo. He cut a promo to start the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did,
And I know there's been a lot of teases and rumours about him returning soon, however you fit that in, I don't know. But it now feels Brock's in that position where it's like, "Hey Vince, I want to come and work." Okay, do whatever you want. And well, can I win a belt? Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, I think I need to win the Rumble, so I need to face. Okay, do that too.
Give him whatever he wants. The rumor is at the minute that Rock turns up after the main event of Night 2 of Mania, which is Brock versus Roman, and kind of stares down Roman. You can't just do that without some story. Like, there has to be some sort of dissension, because why doesn't the Rock like Roman all of a sudden? Because last time we saw them together, he was raising his hand in the ring.
That's the thing. You need some sort of interaction or reference point before that. But then you can't do that, because if you want that moment to be a surprise, the Brock thing worked when you come back at SummerSlam, because Heyman was the factor. That was perfect.
Hmm.
Cena coming back at Money in the Bank after the Roman match worked, because that was Roman is the franchise player. Well, here's the old franchise player.
Yeah.
That works.
One more run, yeah.
Why would Rock be anti Samoan lineage, heritage, family?
Yeah, there's no reason for him to just turn up. It
wouldn't make sense. For me, that's a Raw after Mania thing, because if you say, right, all brand things are, rules are off from the Raw after Mania. Yeah. Roman's here. Oh, what's Roman here? This isn't this show.
Mm.
He comes out on TV, comes out of there. Rock comes out there. That's when you do the Rock Roman thing.
Yeah.
Because then you could easily have that thing of coming out to congratulate you. Rock footage show up. And then Roman says something. There's your feud. Done.
Yeah. They may have also been short on time for this main event, because they were supposed to get the Usos versus the Viking Raiders for the tag team titles.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
The Raiders made their entrance and got jumped by the Usos at the edge of the ramp, and they probably took them out. It looked really effective. They double suplexed Ivor, the bigger of the two fellas, onto the smaller one, and it really hurt both of them. And yeah, they just kind of walked off with the belts, laughing.
Hang on, so they flew four guys out there for an angle.
Yeah, someone tweeted that they flew the Viking Raiders half around the world for that.
Brilliant. Totally worth it. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so that was Elimination Chamber. Obviously, this was actually a paper premium of it. This wasn't just a Saudi show with no consequence. This was an actual, major show with WrestleMania implications. But from the sounds of it, not really anything earth-shattering. We knew what was going to happen with Bianca and unfortunately, pretty much with Brock as well.
As they said, as Brock entered the cage and he closed the door behind him, Michael Cole said, Brock has nothing to lose. He's already got his match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Brock has nothing to lose in this match. So it's, well, what's the point of it then?
How did Brock get the shot? Like, how did Brock get a title shot when he's got a title shot?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You've completely nullified your WWE Championship. That belt means nothing now, because it's not being defended at Mania, because Roman's belt's going to be defended at Mania, because that's the Rumble winner's match,
Yeah.
What's the point? And you've killed the entire top line crew of Raw by having Brock squash them in that. Okay, fine. Let's move on.
The two guys that look strongest, AJ Styles and Austin Theory. Austin Theory may, for a couple of, a brief segment, have me thinking he might win that match.
Wow.
And that would have been a huge curveball.
Can you imagine the reaction to that?
Because he gave Brock a proper big low blow and Brock sold it really like, shit, hang on a minute, I'm in trouble here.
Did we get any Brock Riddle? Because obviously there's heat there.
We got
apart from Brock pinning him, did we get any interaction between those two?
Only as Brock entered the thing, he walked around in front of all the pods basically and spoke to every guy. And Riddle just like tried to like give him a high five and laughed at him. And literally, as soon as Brock got in the ring, he made a beeline for Riddle, gave him a massive F5 and pinned him.
Okay. Okay, we'll stick with Riddle in a moment. So that was Chamber. Doesn't sound like you have to really go out of your way to watch it. You'll see it in highlight form anyway on Raw and SmackDown this coming week, and in the WrestleMania packages again and again and again. That was it. That was our Saudi show. Second one will be in October, November time.
The showdown.
Unless they
want to
do another one, unless they need another $50 million and they go back over there again, obviously.
He doesn't need it.
Because, they only made, over $1 billion in revenue this year? But sure, whatever. Riddle, so we're going to sort of cycle through some news now and some bits. We're not going to catch up everything we've missed over the last four, five months that we've been gone, but we'll pick out. Riddle, there was quite a lot of talk last month that Riddle at one point was booked to win the Royal Rumble. And then that would lead to a title match and feud with Randy Orton, the RKO, RK-Bro team. And whoever, for some reason, decided, no, that can't happen, it was next. What would you have thought to Riddle win the Rumble and Orton, I guess, end up with the belt? And there was your match.
You've known my thoughts on Riddle over the years, but I have 180'd completely. I really enjoy watching him. I don't know if it's because he's with Randy and what he's done for Randy's career, like kind of rejuvenated him, but I think he's so much fun. Like when he jumped into the ring tonight and went to do his sandals flip and they didn't fly off, they just stayed in the ring. He just turned around and looked at him and went, like that, walked off. But I've grown to really admire his work. He's really good. He's taken the best bits of Randy and kind of put them into his own act, and he's great. And him winning the Rumble would have been really good. It would have been a big surprise, but also kind of not out of the realms of possibility, not like a completely random like whoever, a really random win, like a Sheamus win 1 year, was completely out of nowhere. It would have been a good result. And a feud with Randy, yeah, brilliant. Randy's obviously the heel, and that works perfectly fine. They would have had great matches. But yeah, I just don't know what you do with them now, really.
Do you see them pulling the trigger on the RK-Bro split now leading up to Mania, or do you save that as one of your big post-Mania feuds when Brock goes and you need like a heavy Raw program? Probably
I think,
with the belt
it's
involved,
after.
I think, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something after. Something's going to happen between the Matt Rumble at Raw at WrestleMania, which kind of starts to lead to a bit of a breakup. But yeah, it's been coming. They've been attacking for a lot longer than I thought they would be. They've been very successful and very fun. And yeah, I think it is kind of time to pull that trigger now, but not until after Mania.
Speaking of Rumble, so at the Rumble, Shane McMahon returned. It was announced beforehand that he would be in the Rumble, I believe. Was it announced?
Yes.
Or was it? Yes. So Shane came out pretty late in the match. 27, 28, something like that.
Yeah.
And did what Shane does. Not look very good. Sweat a lot. Look like
Throw
a megastar.
Horrible punches.
And yeah, so the Rumble happened. Brock won, blah, blah, blah. Literally, it seemed like within minutes, like the internet blew up of all these stories, all these reports from everyone, all of the established trustworthy sources and the not so trustworthy sources and everyone in between, and everyone's friends, dogs, barbers, fucking cousin. All with the same pretty much story that Shane McMahon showed up for the Rumble and was the producer of the Rumble, or one of the main producers of the Rumble, and decided, nope, this is going to be the Shane O'Mac show. So he wants to come out number one, was one of the reports, and last the way until being eliminated by Brock. He was supposed to come out at 28 or 29. Yeah. They messed up and played Shane's music when Autumn was supposed to come out. Shane was like, Autumn, go out. And he was like, well, I'm not fucking going out to your music. You go out there now. Which does explain why Shane didn't come out of the entrance. He came out from the side.
Yeah.
Which I noticed during the Rumble and was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
So he had to rush out. And then he booked himself essentially to eliminate KO, who was one of the favoured, obviously with the new contract that Owen signed and everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was the big story coming out of the Rumble and how Shane was going to be in a major, major match at WrestleMania, possibly against Seth at one point. Shane apparently campaigned to work against Seth or work against Brock was another suggestion. Yeah. There were reports that Brock was really unhappy about Shane's suggestions at the Rumble. Shane allegedly also kept changing the entrance number of Bad Bunny in the Rumble, which upset Bad Bunny's people. And
you don't upset
celebrities. Nope. WWE, Vince,
especially one that's
that
good at wrestling.
Exactly. Who doesn't have to do it, but still shows up and looks good while doing it. Who has all the respect to the boys for everything you see online and everything. Mm. And yeah, so it came out then that Shane had essentially been let go and sent home by Daddy. What do you make of all this?
In future endeavors for his own company. Yeah, it's so weird. Why is he on this all of a sudden power trip? Like, he's not been around for about a year or so. Why does he think he can just come in and do this? Obviously, he's a McMahon and thinks he can do what he wants, but there's stories in place and things that have been set up and stories going forward. Like, why? Why, Shane, effectively? Why would you do this? And I've seen reports, rumor reports, that with Cody leaving AEW and Shane being fired from here, that they're maybe buying Ring of Honor and starting up another company.
No.
Cody's going to start companies everywhere.
Yeah, why not? They all fucking fail.
Shane's got the money, but I don't know, what he's Shane McMahon. Nobody wanted to see him in this Rumble, regardless if he was number one or number 30 or anywhere in between. He
Can
came out at 28.
Imagine how much sweat that man would have poured, how red he would have been if he'd gone from number one to the last two.
Jesus
Can
Christ.
You imagine it?
That Rumble went 51 minutes. That ring would have been like a swimming pool.
That would have been like these after effects of Storm Eunice or whatever it was called. Yeah. Jesus
the first three in the Rumble were AJ, Shinsuke, and Austin Theory. I mean, those three guys could have gone an hour and it wouldn't have been an issue at all. But yeah, Seth, Shane, not a chance.
You mentioned Shinsuke. He just lost the Intercontinental Championship to Sami Zayn this past Friday on SmackDown. Shinsuke was IC champion for 8 months, something like that.
Yeah.
He made 2 defenses on TV in that time, and the second one was the one he lost.
He's about as good as Toxic Attraction and they're defending those tag team titles. But yeah, I don't get... the IC title means nothing. Like, I'm glad Sammy's got a belt, because Sammy's really good. His character work recently has been fantastic, but... It's the IC belt. It looks shit. It's an horrible design.
It does. See, so Sammy has worked the system. He knows how to play the game now, because he's got a great character that it seems that Vince is behind. Mm-hmm. He signed the deal to stay. Yep. He gets the spots. Like, he did the stuff with Johnny Knoxville at Rumble.
Yeah.
And looks like he might be doing the stuff with Johnny Knoxville at WrestleMania. Might be getting Knoxville versus Sammy. And I'm all for that. I'm not against that.
No. Because Sammy will make it work.
You look through history when the celebrities have been involved.
Yeah.
And there's always a pattern of they're with the people that the company trust, mm-hmm. or that the media appearances. So, like, all the people that slag off The Miz for his wrestling stuff, but he's trusted for the media. If you need someone to be at 5 a.m. for Good Morning America after being at the last show and getting in at the hotel at 3 a.m., The Miz will be there. He won't look tired. He won't let you down. Yeah. He is the man. Cena, I'll make a wish. Cena would do it. And he does it.
Yeah.
You need someone to work with the celebrities in the ring, you know. Sammy has that position at Cena. I did Logan Paul a couple of years ago with KO, or last year, whatever it was. He's now got the Johnny Knoxville thing. Johnny didn't look bad in the Rumble.
No, he didn't. I was shocked. I'll be
for
honest.
Someone who, and if you've seen Jackass Forever, that man was concussed. The bull almost killed that motherfucker.
How he's alive still at this point, I'll just be honest.
Like, and Steve-O should be dead multiple times. Yeah. Knoxville should not be alive at this point. And he was taking bumps in that Rumble, and Sammy was giving them to him. And yeah, so to see the fact that Sammy's potentially being given a one-on-one with Knoxville, it could be a car crash. Absolute wreck of a match.
Yeah.
But it'll have eyes on it from mainstream. And that's all that matters. And Sammy will be focused. He's at the Jackass premiere. He's on ESPN. He's on Entertainment Tonight. Yeah. It's brilliant for Sammy. Good on
him. He'll make it work. Yeah, he's like you say, he's in the perfect position right now. He can't fail with this, basically.
Right, you mentioned Cody. Probably one of, if not the biggest story in the last couple of weeks that broke.
Yeah.
So a little while ago, Cody returned to AEW TV. Obviously, we've made it clear we don't watch AEW. We're not devout followers or even fans. Here, this isn't really the time for that discussion. Don't get me wrong. From what I'm hearing and reading, Bryan Danielson is completely killing it in the company now. He just got voted like Observer Wrestler of the Year, which I believe is actually called Bryan Danielson Award for Best Wrestler of the Year, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think he ended Kenny Omega's like 6-year streak win or something like that. CM Punk's obviously back and doing stuff with MJF, and you've got all these other guys. Hook, Taz's kid, is, you know, fucking blowing up online.
Yeah.
And all this stuff's gone. Keith Lee's just debuted there. Good for them.
Yeah.
Cody is one of the EVPs, founded it, started the whole revolution, as it were, but has for some time been working without a contract.
Yeah,
as
he says, wasn't on payroll.
Yeah. Just showing up, just working, won a TNT belt, dropped it to Sammy Guevara, had that ladder match. I'm sure you've seen the clips of the RKO, the cutter from the top of the ladder, blah, blah, blah. It was announced a couple of days ago online. Cody and Brandy have left AEW. They've gone. That's it.
Yeah.
They've completely gone. And literally within moments of that news breaking, the rumor was, and it seems to be a belief now, Cody's heading back to WWE. What the fuck is going on?
Because what else can he do at this point?
This is huge. Like, he is, okay, not now, but he was an EV, an executive vice president of AEW, the hottest new toy in wrestling right now.
Yeah.
And he's leaving there to go to Vince.
Yeah.
I mean, Vince must be... I mean, the reports are that Vince sees as a huge win because I'm taking one of their EVPs. I'm offering the money and they're not willing to match the money. Reports are that Cody wants this big, big contract. He sees that Punk's getting all this money and Bryan Danielson getting all this money, and Cody wants a piece of that. And Tony Khan's like, well... would you respect? And I'm not going to argue with this. CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, they still mean something in 2022.
Yeah, they bring eyes.
Whatever we think personally, you know, is this the same CM Punk that we all loved back then? Maybe not. Yeah. You know, Bryan Danielson, man, doesn't age. The fact that we saw him retire, we watched him come back, and now he's still having all these great matches.
Yeah.
Cody's not in that. You know, no. All this young, dynamic talent in AEW. I don't think Cody fits in that. At this point, it feels like WWE is where he probably should be.
Yeah. He's a solid hand who can give you a good match and has a character. And he has the name as well. And regardless of what Dusty did when he was wrestling in WWE, he is a Rhodes and he's kind of associated with the development center and bringing through this next generation of wrestlers. And Cody is a part of that lineage. It is baffling the fact that he can just walk away from that position. And Vince is just like, yeah, here's all the money you want coming in. From Vince's mind, he can't lose. He cannot lose in this because money's nothing to Vince McMahon. Regardless of how we've heard about budget cuts and all this nonsense, we've seen the amount of income they've made in the last year. It's eye-watering, the amount of income that they get from, not from wrestling things, but from entertainment. They're an entertainment company now. We've said it for years. They're not a wrestling company. They're an entertainment company, and that's the market they play in. And
wrestling's
very...
a small part of their portfolio.
Exactly.
Nick Khan wants them to be essentially Disney or Marvel as a conglomerate who will eventually get bought up by a company. Because Disney buying them one day, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind, Disney will
It's just going to take for Vince to die before that can happen, I think. Yeah.
At one point in time, Disney will have Pixar, Disney Animation, Marvel, Lucasfilm, WWE in their stratosphere. I mean, I think over somewhere in Europe or somewhere else in the world, Disney Plus or whatever it is, have a deal with WWE. So it's already started in some sense. They're looking at maybe taking the network off of over the air in Europe and same as how they got with Peacock, having that in the UK. So BT Sport could be the carrier of the WWE network.
Yeah.
It will no longer be how we watch it at the moment. And that's going to change everything in this country. Yeah. This is what Nick Khan's game plan is. He's been given the power. He's bigger than Triple H. Triple H is...
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, best wish to him. He had his major cardiac episode. Just... And, you know, it looks like he's never wrestling again. He's done.
No.
NXT, we haven't got time for that conversation. Nick Khan is the second most powerful man in that company right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been given the trust by Vince that you make my company ready to sell, you make it ready to invest in, you make it the media giant that Vince has always wanted in mainstream. Because Vince has always wanted mainstream acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Always has. He flitters close to it, but then he does something really stupid to lose it.
Yeah.
They're on the path. Yes, budget cuts is a horrible fucking excuse to give for people losing their jobs. And we may not agree with people they release, but at the end of the day, their spreadsheets are looking as healthy as ever.
They're their bottom line is somewhere.
That's what I mean. Being paid billions by Fox. They're being paid billions by NBC for the network on Peacock. They've still got the deal on USA. The contracts, when the TV deals come up again, that's a different subject. But if they can still sell out two nights of WrestleMania, and looks like two nights is the plan always now.
Yeah.
Saturday night pay-per-views, premium live events, which work out better.
Yep.
The company's flying in terms of... In everywhere other than the ring, this wrestling company are flying. And Cody...
He's a drop in the ocean, isn't he? His whatever they pay him is not even going to affect the bottom line. Because regardless of what we feel about Cody, the wider wrestling world, if they bring out an American Nightmare t-shirt with his shitty fucking logo, sell hundreds of thousands on the first day of release, and it'll be sold out on the shop all around the world because it's this big, massive deal.
So if Cody goes back, so where if or when whatever, Cody left in what, 2013, something like that, was released, I'll say, and wasn't happy with creative direction, Stardust, all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's gone away. Mm-hmm. He's won championships, NWA, gone Japan, all that sort of stuff. He's started the company. He's successfully been around the head of the company sort of thing, you know. He's made himself a main eventer in different promotions. Established name. It's not just that he's now Dusty's kid. He has established his own identity.
Yeah.
Does he walk into WWE as a solid main eventer they can actually use? Or does he get that temporary push because he's a usual EVP? Now he's our Intercontinental Champion. Do you think, Vince, because of the Dusty thing and the lineage and the history and everything, does he go back with a special place in Vince's heart in the sense of you've done it, like you've gone away? We've seen Vince, Drew McIntyre, we've heard the story. He was released, he went away, he built himself up, he became credible, a star, he could talk, he could wrestle, and now look at him, he's established.
Complete package now, yeah.
Does Cody go back with that same thing, that he's gone and proven himself? Has he earned a top position in Vince's company long-term?
I think he's earned some respect from Vince, absolutely, because of what he's managed to do. And I know Vince doesn't see AEW as a competitor, but they are now like a legitimate wrestling competitor. They're not an Impact. They are more effective than Impact. It's just where you position him when you bring him back. Now, for me, I've seen lots of people say, you put him in with Triple H and because of the smashing the throne and all this sort of stuff. You can't do that. Triple H cannot wrestle. I hope he never wrestles again, because what happened to him is very, very serious. Mm-hmm. And I hope he's recovering well and will be back kind of in whatever position he is. But for me, you bring him back and you put him against Seth because Triple H had the choice. He had Cody or he had Seth. He had the legacy or he had picking his guy, and he picked Seth. He gave him the pedigree. He gave him the everything, basically. He was the hand-picked guy.
Yep.
Cody can come in and say, that's supposed to be my spot. I should be where you are now. I should be this 3 or 4-time world heavyweight champion. I should be the guy, and I'm not. I had to go and do it elsewhere. And if he mentions that Triple H helped out Roman, look where Roman is now, even if he mentions Moxley on TV, the pop they get for mentioning him will be fucking incredible. As much as I don't like Dean Ambrose as a wrestler, the pop he would get just from mentioning him on WWE TV would be huge. You position him with Seth, that's a feud that can run, because Cody is a good wrestler. From what I've seen of him in WWE, he's never had a great gimmick. I liked what was it? When he had the mask and he had the broken face. That gimmick he had. But apart from that, he's kind of just been meh. He's been mid-card. He had legacy. He had all the other stuff he did. Apart from that, he's never been a top player. But now, I think with the respect he's going to have from Vince because of what he's done, there's going to be... he has to come in and have a big feud straight away. Whether that lasts and he's main eventer for the rest of his time there, which I don't think he will be, but he has to come in and have a big feud. Otherwise, it would be very Vince McMahon to bury him immediately and just have him lose to anyone. Mm-hmm. Make him return with Veer, and Veer pins him when he finally debuts on Raw. But I don't think that's where it's going. I think he is going to be positioned right at the top of that card, be that at WrestleMania, or for me, it's a night after Mania.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
Cody Rhodes comes out to open the show, and it's
massive. Do you hold
massive.
Off, given that you'd like to think they're going to start putting places on the big chessboard that is WrestleMania, they're going to start putting their pieces, and Cody doesn't need to be on that board yet, but he can be that major player after WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think the night after Mania, you open the show with, for me, it's only smoke and mirrors, and Cody comes out, but it's going to be whatever his new theme is. But
because he owns his theme at ENAW, so he's got that he can take over.
So people will know. People that are attending Raw will know what that theme is from AEW. I've got no idea what it is, but
they'll know.
It's the start of something, because we've seen the Jericho thing as well, where he mentioned KO changed his profile picture to the Festival of Friendship, where he turned on Jericho, and then Jericho tweeted, "I haven't forgotten Owens. You'll never know when you see me again."
I think Jericho has got a new deal in place for AEW, but it's only for like another year or so.
Yeah.
I still maintain Jericho will go back as a headliner for the Hall of Fame and he will end his career in WWE. I have absolutely
within
no
the
doubt
next
in my mind.
Year, I think, because now they've announced Taker, I don't think you should do anyone else for main event, for WrestleMania Hall of Fame. Just keep it as Taker. 2 hours of Taker, love, fine. Next year, Jericho's a main eventer. He's a headline Hall of Famer. Like, bring him back. Give him that feud with KO, because KO can wrestle anyone and get over. And as much as I dislike Jericho for what he is now, the fucking anti-vax super spreader, like, he's still a good wrestler. And it's opened that forbidden door. They talked about Mickey James was the first one through it with Impact.
Door. Fucking forbidden door. Okay, so
Cody's
that's Cody.
There, it opens up things for everyone.
A couple more bits and then we'll put a pin in this. You mentioned, we're briefly touching it, Undertaker's been announced for the Hall of Fame. It was going to happen at some point. It's in Texas. Yeah. It's fitting. I'm the same as you, just literally just alluded to it. Don't have anyone else. Have it 2 hours. Taker, have a bunch of guys come out.
Yeah.
From the, I have Foley, Kane, BSK, Dawn. All of the guys.
Yeah.
Brett, Paul, Nash, Austin, everyone.
Everyone.
And you come out and you just put him over and you have Vince do something because Vince should induct Undertaker. I know Vince doesn't do the Hall of Fame, but he did Austin.
Yeah.
Vince has to be the man to induct Undertaker.
Yeah. He has to be the final guy that brings out Taker.
They're like, doing the Hall of Fame after SmackDown on April 1st.
Yeah, it's a 2-for-1 event. They were publicising it all the way through Chamber that you can buy tickets and watch the whole thing. Like, that's a hell of a long
That concerns day. Me in the sense of you have a lot of tired fans there who have sat through a SmackDown. Because traditionally, the SmackDown before Mania is usually a taped affair that's just there to plug it. So now it's not going to be that. I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah,
I know that they're not putting as much effort into the Hall of Fame, I feel, this year. I think they want to put their focus somewhere else with Mania weekend and everything. But yeah, Taker should be the only guy going in the Hall of Fame this year because that's his own wing. He is the Undertaker. We may have criticised him in times over the years with some parts of his career. We did obviously the multi-episode look at him. We'll probably re-release those in the coming weeks and stuff as a refresher. Plus, they were fun to do. While we kind of get back into the swing of recording and how we're going to format these going forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, takes in the Hall of Fame, fully deserved, fully earned. And yeah, so at least we'll get a Mark Calloway induction speech. It won't be. And also he deserves something in front of fans because his farewell at Survivor Series in the Thunderdome, he didn't deserve that. He deserves something in front of fans. So he's getting this moment.
Yeah, he deserves it. I mean, who else do you put in at this point with him? Like, whoever it is just going to be completely overshadowed.
You can't put another main event guy. It's Taker and no one else. That's all it is. Okay, last item. And obviously, you can't see because this isn't a video podcast, but Ross here is wearing a Steve Austin T-shirt, so let's end on Steve Austin in the news. Speculation is, and some people are saying it's as good as done deal, others are saying maybe not so sure yet. Steve Austin, by all accounts, has agreed or is close to agreeing or is considering a return to the ring at WrestleMania against Kevin Owens. What do you think?
First off, do you
want to see it?
Yes, I do. I want KO to have a big WrestleMania match, and this will be the biggest match possible, basically. I think he deserves it for everything he's done over the last, 4 years, basically, without really getting his due. And Austin is... He's a unicorn at this point. He's just this mythical person that if you didn't watch wrestling post 2003, you've got no idea the level of what Austin got to. It's stratospheres above what Roman is now or what Cena was or anyone. It was a thing unto his own.
Austin literally changed the business for WWF at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
He won the war. Forget DX and the tank and the Jeep. Austin turned that around. The 83 weeks thing, everyone knows, bang on about it. Austin turned that around with Tyson, all that lot, beating Michaels, carrying the company for the rest of 98 into 99. Obviously, then returned in 2000, found his feet, got big into it. The thing with Rock, one of the best main events of all time.
This company isn't here now without Austin and that run.
That's
it goes bust.
It's not exaggeration to say that if Steve Austin doesn't go catatonic in 97 and 98, there is no WWE now.
WWE wins that rule. Yeah.
Pun intended. So Austin's always said about how I'm not going to come back. What? Because I can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's come out. I didn't hear about this beforehand, but apparently, he had a ring installed at his home last August, year before.
He looks in the best shape of his life, to be honest.
Highspots.com installed the ring for him, and which suggests he's always kind of planned this. Like,
Skull sessions, he looks like he's in peak condition. Like, he was never a body guy, but he looks big and ready.
The only concern is, and we've had this with obviously Shawn Michaels came back for that one match, and for me, I think he looked good. He rested because of Triple H's injury. He had to work the whole match.
Yeah.
He wasn't obviously peak Heartbreak Kid, but he held his end up.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously Edge has come back, seemingly better than ever, and Christian's obviously come back, and AW now, and Daniel Bryan, Brian Danielson's come back. Does Austin risk tarnishing his legacy by coming back and not having the match that everyone wants him to have, whether it be KO or anyone else, that people want that stone cold match? If he can't deliver it, does that tarnish the legacy in this mythical entity that he's built?
The match I want from him is to not like he has a competitive back and forth with KO. They have a stunner battle at the end. He wins a stunner battle and he wins. Like, and they drink beer and he maybe even toasts KO and they walk off. Like, it that's kind of a nice ending for him. But because he never really got he got his ending because he knew that was his last match, but no one else knew that Rock match was his last match. It was just done
the way he wanted it to be.
Well, yeah, he didn't want the big send off.
He didn't want it to be a farewell match.
Yeah. It's really tough how you book it. He wins, obviously. Mm-hmm. KO doesn't win this, but the fact that he got the match with him would be more than enough to keep him happy for another 4 years. But
on Raw the last couple of weeks, KO has been mentioned about Texas and running the place down, which says to me that one or two things is in place. Austin agrees to the match. That's mm-hmm. that's your setup for it. Austin doesn't agree to the match, but he agrees to a segment where KO comes out in Texas, runs it down. Austin comes out, boom, stunner, beer's done. Yep. If he can do the stunner. And the thing is, if he can't do the stunner, he doesn't come back and wrestle.
No, exactly. It's as simple as that. He has to do a stunner.
So
the only alternative to that is JBL, because he's a Texas guy as well.
Yeah. Either way, Austin's going to be at WrestleMania. Like, there's no doubt in my mind Austin will be at WrestleMania. It's Texas. Mm-hmm. It's WrestleMania 38. The question is, does he work the match? Or does he just do a segment? So,
do they advertise it as well? Which, like, because no one's paying $60 for this anymore. It's not a thing that you have to go and buy. Everyone who's watching WrestleMania is already part of the Peacock or part of the network. You've already got it, so you don't specifically have to say Austin versus Owens at WrestleMania. This is a match that's happening.
Also, tickets are selling. Like, tickets sell now on the name WrestleMania.
Yeah,
they don't sell on what the main event's going to be. They don't sell on the appearance or the celebrities. It may need that last push, and like an Austin appearance and a match announced would push that final bit of ticket sale for night one or two. Obviously, it's a night two.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't need to. But then the Cena Taker thing from a few years back where they didn't announce that match. It was just like, Cena challenge him, Taker goes silent. We knew it was going to happen, but they didn't announce it was going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't do that with Steve Austin in Texas. You have to announce either the match, or you have to announce KO's going to do a Kevin Owens, a KO show, whatever his segment's called, at WrestleMania with a mystery guest, you know? And that's how you kind of
everyone
build
knows
up
what
without
it is,
build that up.
Yeah, so you get
I don't
to
know.
It.
But yeah, Austin could be back. That's the current rumour. That's the speculation that maybe
I'm all for it.
Austin is coming back, and it may be, depending on how he feels after that match, it may not be his last match.
I don't want an Austin run. I don't want him doing the Rock and taking the belts off people who deserve it and stuff. But for kind of once in a lifetime, I had a Rock twice in a lifetime. But for matches that kind of he wants to do with people that
he threw in a lifetime when Peacemaker and Black Adam clash. EC, but, you know, you got to plug that shit. Come on,
yeah, that's going to come at some point. But like, he can have a one-off match with KO. He can have a one-off match with Seth, or not Roman, because that style doesn't mesh, but like the guys that can work around him and
AJ,
kind of bump
Seth,
for him.
Edge,
AJ, yeah,
you've got those guys that can work that.
He could put someone over like Austin Theory, who I'm starting to really grow on, and he's already got the Vince thing, and if he comes back and has a match with Austin as well, he can bump around for Austin. No, not a problem at all.
I joked, obviously someone's got together for Rumble, and I kind of joked on the night, do you think Vince is doing this Austin Theory thing because he's so confused now? He just thinks Austin and Vince segments. It's money, damn it! It's like no one tell him that it's not Steve. It's not Steve. Just yeah, I don't know. It builds up anticipation that we could be looking at a Mania with The Rock making an unannounced appearance at the end. There's talk of Shawn Michaels maybe doing something with AJ Styles. I don't know. There's obviously talk of Austin. There's all this hyperbole and hype and The Undertaker have to be there as like an inductee in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
it's shaping up to, and with the Cody news and everything, it feels like maybe, despite all the issues with Brock and Charlotte and Ronda and all this, it feels like groundswell starting to build. Like, it's not feeling like WrestleMania worthy yet, but it feels like something is bubbling.
Yeah,
in regards to the hype that there used to be for WWE in the early part of the year for WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. They feel like they're starting to get their ducks in a row before WrestleMania, which, I mean, at the end of the day, that is what they do. That's their Super Bowl. That is their championship. That is the Champions League final. It is all about WrestleMania every single year. And I mean, 9 out of 10 times, they deliver. They really deliver on pretty much WrestleMania every year.
We'll see if that continues. Okay, that will be us for now. We're back. And we're never going away again. We are going to kind of have some talks and work out how we're going to do this show going forward. We still want to do 3-minute warning because that was fun. So we're going to get back into that and start watching Raws again. It's not gone the way of bringing the Thunder. That didn't work.
He's dead and never coming back.
Yeah, so 3-minute warning will be back. We've still got some ideas for our deep dives. We're still looking at Lance Storm, Christian, the Macho Man. Oh, yeah, that's coming as well. Yeah, so we're going to sort of ride it out for the next month or so. Obviously, once things get more in shape for WrestleMania, we can talk more about that. But as we said, we might re-release our Taker episodes because of the Hall of Fame induction and everything. So, yeah, it's going to find our feet again in the build to the busiest time to be a wrestling fan. And, yeah, this is us, so... We may be a little off the pace with this, but we'll get back. Just very quickly, also, in the time we've been gone, our listeners have still been going. I've been looking at the stats have still been building up. People are still listening to our show. So thank you for that. We are going to try and get a bit more regular. We said this before, and we were, but life happens. So we're going to get back on.
We're both married men with kids and full-time jobs. It's not like, this is not our job.
Now.
And dogs,
Wife's dogs and kids. It's, So yeah, we're going to get back on track and everything. And we hope you continue to join us and support us. And we'll see. Yeah. All right, one more thing to see if we can get back into the swing of doing. Let's try and remember the plugs. So if you have any questions, concerns, arguments, discussions, anything at all, you can contact us in a multitude, a plethora, a smorgasbord of ways. Fuck me, son of a bitch. Okay. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/ringthebellshow, I think. On Twitter and Instagram, it's @ringthebellpod. The email address,
ringthebellpod@gmail.com. Has he done it? He's done it.
He's done it and all. No post-it note needed there. You can go on to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review if you feel we've earned it. You can also go on to many, many, many podcast outlets like Spotify and Stitcher and TuneIn and Anchor, of course, and Acast and Google Podcasts, Amazon Music Podcasts. We are everywhere. If you can find the podcast somewhere, you'll find us there.
Lurking.
We are lurking. We're going to be around. So, thank you for welcoming us back into your podcast subscriptions. And everything, and we will see you all again and speak to you all again very soon. But for now, this has been Ring the Bell. I have been Andrew.
And I've been Ross. Andrew.
Yes.
Ooh, ring that bell.
Oh, that's a lovely sound.